قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Our condolences to all the believers upon the months of Muharram and Safar, these blessed months where we are honored to remember and commemorate the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the master of martyrs. In order to talk a little bit about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his martyrdom and his mission, we are honored to have invited Sheikh Mustafa Samadi from Nigeria to speak to us a little bit about the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Let's go ahead and start our discussion and welcome him. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Mustafa Samadi, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Jazakallah. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, of course. Being here in the holy city of Qom, you know, we are busy with studies and then extracurricular activities and extra lessons, and we really appreciate that you came, took time out of your busy schedule to join us on the talk
show. It's my pleasure. Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Sheikh Samadi, we find that the months of Muharram and Safar are very blessed. They're very honorable. But they are honorable because of the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is really the martyrdom and the mission and the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that has given this blessing and this honor to these 2 months. And as His Eminence Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi says, that it is Muharram and Safar which has preserved Islam, it has protected Islam because of this martyrdom and mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So we wanted to talk a little bit about that martyrdom and that mission, and so we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Thank you very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen abil qasim al Mustafa Muhammad على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Imam Hussein عليه السلام was denied his basic right. In this era, you see that everybody has the right to vote the leader that he wants and to not vote the leader that he does not want.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Imam Hussein عليه السلام, the only thing that he did is that he did not vote. He said, I'm not going to vote Yazid because I don't want him. And that's what made them to kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His only mistake was that he said, I'm not going to vote Yazid.
This is very, very interesting. And I know even though we just started, but because at least for me, this is the first time that I've heard it being put in this manner. Everybody in the world, you know, at least for the time being, they have the right to vote. They have the right to say, this is who I want the leader to be. This is who I don't want the leader to be. If I want a leader, I want a leader based upon Islamic credentials, Islamic conditions, you know, somebody who is a leader which is pious, which is, you know, honorable, which is noble, which represents religious values, spiritual values. That's who you want your leader to be.
To be,
you know, and
especially Muslim Ummah.
Especially Muslim Ummah. And if somebody, for example, in these certain, you know, so-called democracies of the world, you know, somebody who's not like this tries to come, is, you know, nobody can force me to vote that I want that individual. And so here you're saying that, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he said, I do not want
to
this
vote.
Yazid. I do not want this vote. I do not vote for Yazid, a drunkard and somebody who represents anti-Islamic values. Yes, please continue.
And he did not say, I'm going to kill him or something like that. He was like, I'm not going to vote him.
Yeah.
That's all.
This is going to destroy the Muslim Ummah.
Yeah. And then Yazid said he has to be killed. Mm-hmm. And he was killed just because of that.
Mm-hmm. Because he did not pay allegiance,
not
which we're calling this vote.
Bay'ah or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is Yazid and this is Bani Umayyah. Bani Umayyah all are like are the same. Like if you didn't vote them, if you didn't support them, they're gonna kill you. But when you come to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Ahlul Bayt culture is different.
Yes.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he became the leader of Muslims, the fourth Khalifat, many people did not vote him. Many people did not do bay'ah to Imam Ali alayhi salam. But what Imam Ali alayhi salam did he kill them? Did he oppress them? No. He didn't kill them. He didn't allow anyone to oppress them. And no one was allowed to depress them.
Yes.
And in Imam Ali alayhi salam time, when he was a leader, he was giving a speech in the mosque. One of the members of Khawarij came into the mosque and said, "We're a good speaker, but he's a kafir."
Allahu Akbar. While Imam Ali alayhi salam was on the minbar,
yeah,
giving a speech during his khilafah, yeah. I'm assuming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then one of the Khawarij comes and he says, "It's a good speech, but he's a kafir."
He's a kafir.
Wow. And so if this was a Yazidi culture, or if it was a Bani Umayyah culture, he would have got on and cut the guy's head off.
He's going to kill you.
But tell us then what Amir al-Mu'mineen...
Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he had this, he didn't do anything. But the companions wanted to attack that person. Imam said, "No, you shouldn't do anything. He cursed me, he insulted me. If I want, I can answer him." But he forgived him.
Subhanallah.
Imagine if you insult any leader at our time, what's going to happen to you? Maybe you're not going to see the sun
the next day.
But Imam Ali forgived him. I just want to talk about how Imam Ali treats people, how Imam Hussein treats people.
And in turn, how we should be treating people.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting is when we look at the seerah and the manners and the pattern of the behaviors and akhlaq of the Ahlul Bayt, not only do we learn how to be, we also learn how to not be.
How to not be.
You know? And so please continue, yeah.
So I was talking about voting someone and not voting someone. Imam Ali alayhi salam did not kill the people that say they're not going to vote him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam too, when he came to Karbala, you know that the people of Kufa invited him to Karbala.
Yes.
Send him letters to come, that we're waiting for you, we're going to help you, and come and help us. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to Karbala, Kufa people changed against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. What did Imam Hussein did? He did not say that you must vote me, you must support me. He was like, if you don't want me, let me go. I don't need your votes, I don't need your bay'ah, I don't need anything from you. And I'm not going to force you to vote me or support me. Let me just go. He also told his companions to leave him in Karbala alone with the enemies.
On the night of the ninth of Ashura.
Yeah, he told them to leave and go. They don't need to support him.
they want my blood.
Yeah, they want my blood. If they got to me, they don't have anything to do with you. So you people can just go and leave. But the companions, we're not ready to leave such a pure and great person, because they knew that it's worth it to give your blood, to give your life, to sacrifice yourself for him.
Yes.
So they stayed.
They voted Hussein.
They voted Imam Hussein, his companions. Okay. And in the case of like giving water, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it's reported that he was the first person to reach Karbala.
Yes.
When the enemies reached Karbala, Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave them water and gave water to their horses also. But they stopped Imam Hussein from drinking water.
Yes.
If Imam Hussein is giving someone water, if Imam Hussein is giving his enemies water to drink, that is nothing to question. We have to question if we see that Imam Hussein is not giving them water. That's the place you have to ask question. Can Imam Hussein stop water? Can Imam Hussein stop someone from drinking water? This is where you can come and
It's interesting because Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, you see the same thing, I believe, in the Battle of Siffin. So in the Battle of Siffin, the army of Muawiyah stopped water from reaching the army of Imam Ali. And so then the army of Imam Ali went and they fought with Muawiyah and his soldiers and they took the water back. And so then the people said to Imam Ali, this is the best time to take revenge and stop water upon them. But they didn't stop water. They said, no, let them have access to water.
I wanted to even mention this one too. Mm-hmm. Thank you for mentioning it. Yeah, Imam Ali alayhi salam said that, no, we need to give them water because we're not the same.
Yes.
If we stop them from drinking water, then we are making the same mistake that they have made.
Yes. Mm.
And in this case, we can learn something from this, is that you are not allowed to sanction your enemy if you're fighting them. Mm-hmm. In this era, we see that United States or other countries are sanctioning their enemies, and this is not allowed in Ahlul Bayt's culture.
This is really interesting because I follow the news every now and then, right? And so in the news, one of the things that really is very out there, very manifest, easily accessible, is this idea that the sanctions by the United States of America has caused pain and suffering for the common people of the Islamic Republic of Iran, right?
Yeah.
So even though they say that we love the people of Iran and, we love the people of these other countries that they sanction, Syria and Lebanon, we love the people, we only have a problem with the government.
Yeah.
But when you see the sanctions mechanism, the sanctions are sanctioning the people, and very rarely do they really sanction. So if they sanction the government, it'll be like, so-and-so official can't travel. So who cares? He's not going to travel anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
But the damage that is done to the common people is really great. The lack of being able to bring in medicine or certain medical equipment into the country preventing, alienating the Islamic Republic from the financial system of the world and a whole list of things which really is hurting the common people. And here you related that with Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala and really the pattern in the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt, right? Where say, listen, even if it was an enemy, so there's a very famous story that I had read about Imam Hussein. And so when this army, the army of Hur reached the caravan of Imam Hussein, they had become lost in the desert.
Mm.
And so their water had run out, and by the time they reached Imam Hussein alayhi salam, these people were dying of thirst.
Yeah, soldiers.
And so the soldiers were dying of thirst. These are the soldiers that were sent to prevent Imam Hussein and kill him eventually.
Kill him, yeah.
And
but he
one
gave
of
them
these,
water.
Yeah, the, he. I don't know if you were going to talk about this.
Yeah, he treated them with hospitality.
Yeah, and not just hospitality. I read specifically where one of the soldiers, he relates that I was laying on the ground and I could barely move because of the intensity of thirst. And he says that I see this man, in his youth.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking about 50s youth. So they said Imam Hussein was very youthful looking, even though he was in his 50s.
He says
this youthful man, shining like the moon, comes towards me. And he said something in a very fasih Arabic.
Mm.
And he says, I didn't understand. And so then Imam Hussein alayhi salam explains to him and says, I'm telling you to go ahead and drink water. He says, I couldn't drink water. So this Hussein ibn Ali, he came with the water skin and put the water in my mouth to be able to drink.
Okay.
And to me, this was so shocking and inspiring and amazing and a lot of emotions, that these are individuals who have come to kill you. Yet this humanitarian level of this being a human being, has been kept intact by Ahlul Bayt, please.
That's what I said. If Ahlul Bayt are keeping someone from drinking water, even if the person is their enemy, that's when we're going to ask, why did he do that? That's not what we know them about. We know that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam used to forgive people, loving people.
Yes.
They cannot stop even their enemies from drinking water.
Yes.
And that's how Imam Ali alayhi salam, Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam were treating the people.
Yes.
There's also another case I wanted to raise. Like Imam Ali alayhi salam, it was reported that Imam Ali alayhi salam forgave Ibn Muljim, his killer, his own killer.
Mm.
Because he told Imam Hassan alayhi salam that he should take care of all the needs that Ibn Muljim has.
Mm.
And no one has to oppress him.
Mm.
And if it happens to him to be alive, to stay alive, he's gonna do something about it. But he told Imam Hassan alayhi salam to forgive Ibn Muljim if Imam Ali alayhi salam is dead.
Mm.
And the amazing thing is that Imam Hassan alayhi salam forgave Ibn Muljim. Mm.
Mm.
He did not want it to kill him. But the people, I mean the Muslims, the companions, insisted on killing Ibn Muljim. That's what made Imam Hassan to kill Ibn Muljim. I want to say that look at these people, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, how they treat even their enemies.
Yes.
Your interest comes first.
Yes.
In their own culture. They're ready to give up their own interest because of your interest, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So imagine if such people, Ahlul Bayt, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, against someone, if they oppose someone, that person has to go back to himself and check his characters, his faith, his deeds.
Yes.
That's a big question mark. I mean, if you see Ahlul Bayt are opposing someone, that's a big question mark on that person that is being opposed.
Right. Right. And we see, and I mean, I just adding to your point how this is really a lesson for the world in today's age and in today's era. These beautiful personalities that should be followed and they should be obeyed and they should be listened to. You know, the world would be a very beautiful place to live in if we were to apply and implement these characters and akhlaq and morals and behaviors and this pattern of life of the Ahlul Bayt, you know. And to me, it's very, I guess, shocking and surprising that why the world has still not reached a point where they're sick of all this. You know, they're sick of nonstop consumerism, they're sick of materialism and just the amassing and hoarding of wealth and, you know, these very physical, carnal desires, which, I mean, you know, we live in a very chaotic, world where a lot of these moral corruptions are so out of hand. And still people, I don't know when people will get sick of this. And, in Urdu, there's a statement which it says that just let the people awaken.
Yeah.
Then all the people of the world will say together, Ya Hussein.
Allahu Akbar.
It's because they've been put asleep by materialism, consumerism, and these things that they haven't realized this, you know, Misbahul Huda, which is Imam Hussein. If you want to comment on that, Shia.
Imam Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam said that you just need to tell people the good things that we have said.
Yes.
And then all the people are going to start following us. I think we need to work as much as we can in conveying the messages of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam to the people, to everyone in this world, to everybody, Europeans, Asians, Africans, all of them. Yes. All of us need this, the messages, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.
Yes, and go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was above the tragedy of Karbala. He was walking above the tragedy. He did not only stand looking at the tragedy happening on him or something like that. He was the one controlling the tragedy in the way that he wants, in the way that he can convey the message of Allah, the message of the Prophet Muhammad. Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Zainul Abidin and Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, they used this tragedy to convey the message of the Prophet, to convey the message of the Quran, to convey the message of Allah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to die, he told us that إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَتِي, I am going to leave the book of Allah and my family for you. مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِي أَبَدًا. And if you people follow the Quran and follow my family, you're not going to be misguided. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, they used this tragedy of Karbala to bring people back to Quran, to bring people back to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. For example, one of the goals that Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to reach was that people should realize who Ahlul Bayt are. Yes. And who are the enemies of Ahlul Bayt? Who are the true people that the Prophet Muhammad chose for the leadership? And who are not the true people? Who are the people that are following Quran? Who are the people that have the knowledge of Prophet? Who are the people that are supposed to be followed and obeyed? And who are not the people that are supposed to be followed or obeyed? In this case, I want to say that when Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam arrived in Sham, an old man came into Imam Zain al-Abidin and other members of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. He was very happy that Yazid could kill Ahlul Bayt. He was like, praise to Allah that helped Yazid to kill you people and arrest you people.
Rebels.
Yeah, yeah.
They call them rebels.
Rebels.
Yeah.
Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam told him that, oh old man, he was an old man. Oh old man, have you ever read Quran? The old man said, yes, I've read Quran. Imam alayhi salam said, have you read this ayah? قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. He said, yes, I've read the ayah. The ayah is saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, I don't want any reward from you people for what I have done for you, for the risala, for all the messages, for all the teachings I have given to you.
Yes.
Except the love of my family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Dil-Qurba.
Yeah, Dil-Qurba. So Imam Zain al-Abidin told this man, do you know who are Dil-Qurba? Who are the family of the Prophet that has to be
the
loved?
Near ones. Yeah.
He said, who? Imam Zain al-Abidin said, we are the family of the Prophet that has to be loved. And then Imam said, have you read, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Indeed, God desires to purify the members of the members of family of the Prophet. And he now told him that we are the members of the family of the Prophet.
Yes.
The old man said that you are the family of the Prophet. Imam said, yes, we are the family of the Prophet. The old man was like, I am repenting from what I said just now. And when this incident reached Yazid, Yazid ordered to kill this old man. That means that this old man has known that Ahlul Bayt that are supposed to be loved are not Yazid or his followers. These are Ahlul Bayt, and Yazid is an oppressor, and Yazid, he is the one that take the right of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. This is one of the incidents that make someone realize the truth. Imam Hussein wanted people to realize the truth about Ahlul Bayt and their enemies about Islam and Quran. The second incident that was very important.
Well, before we go to the second incident, right? I think because as you were telling the story, right, one of the things that really stood out in my mind was the amount of mass propaganda that had been done by the governmental apparatus not in Yazid's time, because by the time we get to Yazid, may Allah curse him, by the time we get to him, what he's dealing with in Sham, or in that time the Levant and Syria and these areas, right? This is the result of the mass propaganda that Muawiyah had been doing for so many years. Right? So, right, they said this idea that during Muawiyah's reign, they would send curse upon Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali from the pulpit. This is a mass propaganda that had been starting from this time of Muawiyah, you know, who was placed as governor by Uthman, right, the third caliph. So from that time, and then you have Imam Ali's time, you have Imam Hassan alayhi salam's time, peace and blessings upon them all. By the time you get to Imam Hussein alayhi salam's time, this old man who was probably in his youth when he started to ingest this poisonous propaganda, by the time he becomes an old man, he no longer knows who the Ahlul Bayt are. He no longer knows what the difference is between truth and falsehood. So he has a problem with these so-called rebels who, you know, Imam Zainul Abidin, and he has a problem with rebels, but he doesn't have a problem with Yazid, who has monkeys and dogs in the court and who's known to be committing adultery and fornication and who's known to be drinking alcohol and, you know, who's known to be an un-Islamic character. He doesn't have a problem with Yazid. He has a problem with
the people that are real family of the Prophet.
With the real family of the Prophet. Yeah. You see? And so I wanted to take this, because that's what to me was being, what I was understanding. If you take that to today's time, right, how careful we have to be with what our youth listen to, how careful we have to be with what our youth, our children, our future, they ingest, whether it's the physical food they eat, whether it is what they watch on television or movies or social media, what they listen to. Because if we don't control what inputs are going into our children, we could very well be finding individuals like this old man who have no problem with Yazid and, you know, I'll say America and Israel and, you know, Indian occupied Kashmir and the, you know, Nigeria and the oppression going on there and Syria and Iran. We don't have a problem with any of these things.
Yeah.
Oh, but we have a problem with Imam Khomeini. We have a problem with, you know, Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Yeah.
We have a problem with, you know, Shia religious scholars being at the head of the governmental authority to make sure that everything is being, you see? So we have to be very careful if you want to comment on that, you know, this idea where even in today's time, these stories from Karbala apply to today. And they're not some far off, you know.
But, you know, the problem is that the media is working against the good people, let me say.
Yes.
The media is working against the good teachings.
Right.
Against the good thinkings, maybe.
Right.
But
right.
But they're working with the people that are the enemies of these people. They're working with the people that are enemies of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, the teachings of Prophet Muhammad.
Right.
Even in our time, like you cannot post anything.
You can't post.
You cannot post anything in Instagram that, and because they're gonna block you maybe sometimes.
Yeah. Actually, I remember when Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani, when he was assassinated, you know, when he attained martyrdom, he was illegally assassinated according to a United Nations report. It wasn't an Islamic Republic report. It was a United Nations report that he was when he was assassinated. It was done illegally. By the United States of America. If you even, I don't know, but even now, I think, if you post a picture of Qasim Soleimani or a akhlaqi, ethical, moral quote from Qasim Soleimani, it's like they'll shut you down, they'll strike you, they'll shadow ban you. So even today, yes, this is very
that's
real,
it,
as you were saying.
That's it, And after the incident that I talked about just now, Imam Zainul Abidin and that old man, the old man changed his all his thinkings, all his views, and he told Imam alayhi salam that he is repenting to Allah from supporting the enemy of Prophet. See, before he was seeing that Yazid is not an enemy of Prophet. He is an Amir al-Mu'mineen and something like that. He's someone that Prophet chose for the Muslim countries, for the Muslim community. Mm-hmm. But now he's like, no, Yazid is the enemy of the Prophet. This is one of the things that Imam Hussein wanted to happen, to bring up the awareness of the people.
I apologize. I would like to add another point. Is because, well, one of the things about the talk show is that it's dynamic. So you say something, and that creates another discussion, and then creates. So if I interrupt a little bit, don't take offense to it. Yeah, don't take offense to it. You know, here, you know, this is the responsibility of every single one of us. Is to put the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam out there, the message of the Ahlul Bayt, the message of truth, the message of Islam, pure Muhammadan Islam. It is the responsibility of every single one of us out there. Our humble efforts at Islamic Pulse, this is one of our purpose, you know, or our mission, is to be able to put out the truth out there and help individuals, of course, you know, with the help of the Almighty Allah, to hopefully, you know, help people from realizing who Hussein is, who Yazid is, what Hussein represents, what Yazid represents, not just 1,000 years ago, 1,000 years later as well. And hoping that that old man, or the young people out there, or the old man, our metaphor, will realize the truth, and he will be able to see who the Hussein of his time is and who the Yazid of his time is.
Yeah.
And so if you want to talk a little bit about the responsibility of every single one of us to make this truth clear, you know, we can't remain silent, if you'd like to talk about that.
Yeah, we can't remain silent. Yeah, we need to do something about it. We need to use the media. I mean,
yes,
this is one of the fastest means that we can use.
Yes.
And we have to do what they call jihad at-tabiin.
Jihad at-tabiin,
We need jihad at-tabiin in this time.
This struggle to clarify, explain.
Yeah, because many people don't know what's going on in the world. Many people are seeing the enemy as a friend.
Right.
The enemy as the best people to follow. And this enemy is destroying their life, it's destroying their country, destroying their politics.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to like do everything we can do to make people be aware of who their enemy are.
Ahsant. Sheikh Mustafa, I know you had another point that you wanted to talk about, but I think we might have gone a little bit over our time. So if we can take that second point to the next talk show, inshallah, and release it for the next episode. But before we end, as far as this first point that we must take the Ahlul Bayt as a role model, we must have the Quran as a role model in our lives. If you'd like to kind of summarize along those lines, inshallah.
Yeah, in the beginning I said that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was killed just because he did not want to vote. Mm-hmm. But when Amir al-Mu'minin, Imam Ali alayhi salam, was the leader, people that did not vote him were free. He did not oppress them. Mm-hmm. He did not kill them. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that's what he did in Karbala. He told the people that you can go. You can leave me alone. You can stop supporting me. You're not forced to stay.
Yes.
Means you're not forced to vote me. You're not forced to kill yourself for me. And you're free, you can get anything you want. I just want to say that this is the real democracy.
Mm.
If you want democracy, you need to come and learn it from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to see justice, you need to come to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and learn justice from Imam Hussein, learn democracy from Imam Ali and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.
Conclude the talk show, but this last point was really interesting. This idea of if you want to know true justice and adala, if you want to know true taqwa, piety, God consciousness, if you want to know true spirituality, if you want to know true everything and anything that's true, you brought up, you know, democracy or this you know, then you have to come to the doorstep of the Ahlul Bayt, peace and blessings upon them. But I wanted to add in there so that it doesn't remain just a concept, you know, but look at the idea of freedom of speech in the world, yeah. You know, just one example, and how very eloquently you said that this Khariji guy came,
yeah,
and he accepted that the speech of Imam Ali was good, yeah. Meaning it was true,
yeah.
It was profound, it hit his heart, but he still said, oh, but the guy's a kafir, right? And he didn't, I mean, that's freedom of speech, you know? And in today's era, we find that if you live in many of these Western countries, right? So for example, in Germany, it is illegal to take out a flag of Hezbollah in a protest.
Yeah.
Like, it's illegal, huh? Mm. Meaning they'll fine you or throw you in jail or something.
Yeah.
Like, it is illegal to take a flag of Hezbollah
and protest.
And not even say anything. Mm. Just hold it out there like this, right? It's illegal in Germany. In the United States, what freedom of speech? Mm. Yeah, you are free to say what they want you to say.
What they want you to say, yeah.
But you're not free to say what you want to say.
Yeah.
You know?
That's correct.
So, I don't know. I think this was a, if you want to comment on that, the idea that a lot of these values, freedom of speech, democracy meaning what? Meaning the people have power, the people have the right? And these other kind of ideas and concept and human values and, for example, humanitarian, I don't know. These things have been taken by the West and given their own definitions.
Yeah.
And in reality, what we see, the definition of freedom, the definition of justice, the definition of democracy, the definition of freedom of speech, all these definitions taken by the West have been misinterpreted, corrupted.
Yeah.
But if you want the true meanings of these, you're going to have to come to the Ahlul Bayt. Yeah, if you want to, yeah, comment on that. Yeah,
as I said just now, as you know, you have said everything about it, but the topic that you said, Imam Ali alayhi salam, forgive that person that insult him in the mosque. That is the real definition of free of speech.
Yeah,
that's the real definition. And you know, and the thing I said before, I said that Imam Ali did not stop his enemies from drinking water. Mm. Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave his enemies water and not sanctioning them from anything. Mm. This is the real justice and democracy.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much, Sheikh Mustafa Somari, for joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. It was an honor. We hope to have you on another Islamic Pulse Talk Show soon,
inshallah,
especially since that second point is still waiting to be explained. May Allah bless you and your efforts in commemorating the mission and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein.
Thank you very much. May Allah bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And dear viewers, Jazakallah Khair, thank you for joining us on the talk show where we were talking about the importance of keeping the Ahlul Bayt as our role models and how every single one of us out there can make a difference in showing where the truth is and where falsehood is and what they represent in the modern world. Until another talk show, that is all from us. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.